Turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We begin this morning looking at this verse, and it's so great to see you. It's Easter morning. We thank God that you could be here. What a great day as we remember the death and the resurrection of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, on this day, we really think more about the resurrection. We think of the good news that God sent his son Jesus Christ to come to the earth, to die on the cross, to pay for sin, and then to rise again. It's powerful, his death, his resurrection. His resurrection proved that he is God, proved that sins are paid for, and that death is conquered. This morning is a day of praise and worship. May God be glorified in everything that we do. As we begin, I want to think about something that's not always pleasant. And I want you to think about an enemy. All people have enemies. All of us have different things that are contrary to us, but we all have one enemy in common. And that is the one that we call death, the grim reaper. The Bible calls death the final or the last enemy. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. 1 Corinthians 15, in Adam all die. Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment. And when people think of death, there's fear. That final enemy that we have is death, but we have great comfort and truth from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15:54, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? There's not one. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through or in our Lord Jesus Christ. What has he done? I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 10. It's talking about Jesus Christ, who is now revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Look what he did. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He abolished death. Death is conquered. Death is not the end. All people will exist forever because death is conquered. It says he has abolished death and he's brought life. And for us, he's brought eternal life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so he has brought life and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel. The gospel is the death and resurrection, the good news message of how Jesus came and died and prayed for sin and rose again, conquering death and giving eternal life to all who believe. When we think of our message of Easter, it is the message of the death and resurrection of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, we have a living Savior. We have a Savior who died and rose again. That's why we worship on Sunday. We worship on the first day of the week because Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week. Every Sunday we remember as Resurrection Day. And so every time we come together on a Sunday morning, in reality we should be saying, this is Resurrection Day. This morning we want to focus on what our Savior did. And as we think about his death and resurrection, we want to primarily focus on the resurrection and our response to Jesus Christ who died and rose for us. See, Jesus Christ is our victory. The key is his resurrection. As we meet together, we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, this is a memorial. We think about it, we come together and we say, hey, this is Easter. Well, you know, the Bible is full of memorials. I want you to think about this. When the Jewish people came out of Egypt, God told them about Passover, and on the 14th day of the month, they killed this lamb, put the blood on the door. God passed over them, and they came out of Egypt. And so for every year after that, on the 14th day of the first month, they celebrated Passover. When the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan River to go into the promised land, God dried up the river. They took rocks out of the dry riverbed as they crossed over, put them on the other side, stacked them up, and said, we will always remember how God dried up the river. For us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we have a memorial. We call it the Lord's Supper, in which we remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, this morning is a memorial because we call it Resurrection Day. And once a year, we all say, let's think about Easter and how Jesus rose from the grave. And as I said a while ago, every Sunday morning is Resurrection Day. Well, this morning, I want to raise a few questions to think about as we think about Jesus' resurrection. First of all, here's the questions. First of all, what is resurrection? Second, what did Jesus say concerning his death and resurrection? The third thing is, what did Jesus Christ actually do? And then the last thing, what is our response to all of this? So let's begin with resurrection. What is resurrection? The Bible talks about resurrection. And by the way, whenever the Bible talks about resurrection, it's not some spiritual thing where a person dies and then they say, oh, their spirit's around. No, resurrection is always of the body. When the Bible talks about resurrection, it's talking about a body being raised from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, this perishable body must put on imperishable body. This mortal body must put on immortality. So when we talk about a definition, resurrection is when the human body is raised from the dead or changed, because there'll be a generation who don't die physically, but will be changed. The human body is raised from the dead or changed to never die again. It's an incorruptible, no corruption body. It's a body that will last forever. And this is all ties together with the fact that we know Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about this. The Bible, that resurrection is always dealing with the body. Now, let me show you something. Here's a question. Who was the first person resurrected? If you think carefully, you say, okay, I remember there was a guy named Lazarus, and Jesus went down there, and he had been dead 4 days, and he said, move the stone away, and they said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth. That wasn't resurrection. That was resuscitation. You think about the little 12-year-old girl that died, and Jesus went there with Peter, James, and John. He went into the house. They took mom and daddy in. The little girl was laying on the bed, and he said, little girl, arise. And he took her hand, and she sat up. That wasn't resurrection. That was resuscitation. When Jesus was going into the city of Nain, and the widow of Nain, the widow was coming out, and her husband was dead, and her only son had just died, and they were coming out holding the body up, and Jesus stopped it all and said to them, man, sit up. And he set him up. And everybody went, wow, that wasn't resurrection. That was resuscitation. Resuscitation is to come alive, be dead, and come alive to die again. Resurrection is to come alive to never die again. And who is the first person ever resurrected? I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. So turn back toward the front of your Bible to 1 Corinthians. And there's Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and look at chapter 15. Chapter 15 is called the resurrection chapter. As you're turning there, I want you to realize the first person to ever die and to be raised from the dead, never to die again, was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. Notice what it says. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits, meaning the first one from those who are asleep, the first one to ever come back from the dead, never to die again. That is what resurrection is. Jesus Christ is the first fruits of resurrection, meaning he is the first one who ever rose from the grave, never to die again. That's why the key is that Jesus died and rose again. Well, there's a second question, and this is one you need to think about. Will all human beings be raised from the dead? And the answer is yes. Every human will be raised from the dead, and I'm talking about a physical body. Every human will be raised from the dead. It ties back to our relationship with Jesus Christ. All people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, they have what is known as eternal life. So every one of you in this room, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have eternal life. And one day, whether you die physically or not, you're going to be changed, you're going to be raised, and you're going to live forever with Jesus Christ. It's called eternal life. Other people who have not trusted in Christ as Savior, they will be raised from the dead to spend eternity separated from Jesus Christ. Because the body is resurrected, this is called the second death. That's what it's called. So will all human beings be raised from the dead? Yes, every human being will be raised from the dead. Those who have trusted Christ will be raised from the dead to live with Jesus forever. It's called eternal life. Those who have not trusted in Christ will be raised from the dead to be separated forever. It's called the second death. I want you to notice something. Verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 15, for since by a man came death, that's Adam, by a man came the resurrection of the dead. That's true. By one man, Adam, there was death. By one man, Jesus Christ, there is life. It knows on to say, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. See, in Adam, everybody dies. In Jesus Christ, all are going to be made alive. Now, being made alive doesn't mean you have eternal life. Being made alive means you're resurrected from the dead. Those who know Christ will live forever with him, eternal life. Those who do not know Christ will live forever separated from him. It's called the second death. So this is the key. Jesus Christ died and rose again, conquering death for every person. And death is not the end. All will be raised from the dead. Some eternity with Jesus Christ, eternal life, because they put their faith in Christ as their Savior. Those separated forever because they did not trust Christ as Savior in the second death. Now, let's talk about what Jesus did. What did Jesus say concerning his death and his resurrection? Now, I don't want you to turn there, but I'm going to turn to Matthew. Okay? And don't you just stay where you are. And I want to turn and I want you to hear what Jesus said as he was on the way to Jerusalem in those final days. This is Matthew chapter 16. Now look, I want to show you. I'm just going to put these verses up, but don't turn there. Here's Matthew 16. Look what Jesus said he was going to do. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he would suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. That's his death. And be raised up on the third day. That's his resurrection. Listen to Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse 22, or listen to verse 22. And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, to his men, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. That's his death. And he will be raised on the third day. That's his resurrection. And then Matthew chapter 20, in verse 17. Listen to this. As they were about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way he said to them, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, talking about himself, will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock and scourge him and crucify him. That's his death. And on the third day, he will be raised up. That's his resurrection. What did Jesus say he was going to do? He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'll be handed over to the religious leaders. They will mock me. They will try me and all this. They'll give me over to the Gentiles, to the Romans. They will put me on the cross. They will crucify me. I will die for the sins of the world. And then I will be raised from the dead on the third day. The message is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the way, five times in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, I'm going to die and rise again. With that in mind, the next question is, what did Jesus do? He said that his death would pay for sins. He was going to die and pay for sins. He said he would rise again and conquer death. What did he do? Well, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ died. He died to pay for our sins. John says he came into his own and his own received him not. That's his came into his own people. I want you to turn here to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And I want you to see a couple of things. Now in Luke chapter 23, Jesus has already been arrested. They were in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you remember, let me just remind you of the story. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane with his men. They're praying. One of his men by the name of Judas has already gone to betray him. He's gone to the religious leaders. He's got the religious leaders. He's got some Roman soldiers, and he's got the temple guards, and they're coming to get Jesus. They got swords and clubs and everything else. Jesus with his men, he took Peter, James, and John. They got off by themselves. He was praying. He told them to stay awake. He'd go pray. He'd get back. They'd fallen asleep. He'd wake them up. And finally, on the third time, he comes back and said, go ahead. It's time. And they look up. And here comes Judas bringing a crowd of people with swords and shields and everything else. And Jesus steps out from his men and says, who are you looking for? And one of them said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And when he said, I am, that's the name of God. And when he said, I am, the Bible says that the entire crowd coming to arrest him took steps back and put their faces to the ground. He showed his power as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Savior. They stood back up. He said, who did you say you're looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And they got him. And the guys ran off. And they tried him all night, three times before the Jews, three times before the Romans. At the very end of this trial before the Romans. And by the way, before the Jews, all three times, they found him guilty. Before the Romans, all three times, they found him not guilty. But they decided, because of the crowd, because of the issues, that he was going to be crucified. And look at Luke 23, look at verse 26. It says, they led him away. Now, they're taken in to be crucified. They led him away. They seized a man named Simon of Cyrene coming in from the country and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. See, at that day and time, if you were going to be crucified, you had to take that top part, and it was tied to you usually, and you're supposed to go all the way out to the cross thing. They lay you down, they nail it all together, they nail you, and they put you up. But Jesus had been beaten so much, he couldn't carry it anymore. In fact, the best we could understand, he tried to carry it, he couldn't do it. And so they got this guy, they said, hey, you over here. And his name was Simon of Cyrene. He said, what? Carry this for him. You didn't talk back to Roman soldiers. So Simon of Cyrene carried the top part of the cross for Jesus. And it goes on to say down in verse 32, it says, two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. And we know who they were, the two robbers and thieves, and they're beside him. And then notice verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. They came to a place called the Skull. There's all kind of traditions there. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, there's a bus station real close to where everybody thinks what people call Golgotha or the hill and all that. And if you get in a certain way and look, it almost looks like there's two eyes and it looks like the face of a skull on the side of the mountain. Some people say that. Tradition also has it when David cut off Goliath's head and brought it back to Jerusalem. Tradition is that's where he buried the head of Goliath, and that's why it's called the Skull. Nobody knows for sure, but it was called the place of the skull. It says they brought him there and they crucified him. What did he say was going to happen? That he was going to become, he was going to be arrested, he was going to be tried, he was going to be turned over to the Gentiles, and they would crucify him. That's exactly what happened. They crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And they casted lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. There were seven things that Jesus said on the cross. That's just one of the seven. One of the great ones that he said on the cross was, it is finished. The payment for sin was finished. They crucified him. And we know that he would be crucified to bear our sins. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he bore in his body our sins when he was on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He took our sins upon himself. It goes on to say in verse 46 that he'd been on the cross. By the way, I want you to understand, they put him on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning and then at 12 o'clock. And from 12 to 3, everything turned dark. It turned dark because the judgment of sin was being placed on Jesus Christ. That's why during that time period, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The sins of mankind were placed on Christ, and the fellowship between the Father and the Son were broken. The wages of sin is death. Death is separation. Jesus is separated from the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, my God, Father, my God, Spirit, why have you forsaken me? He separated. He took our sins upon himself. It turned dark from 12 to 3, and then a little past 3, he cried out, into your hands I commit my spirit. But right after the darkness, he said, it is finished. And then he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last. If you look at verse 44, it is now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land till the ninth hour, and the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus cried out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And I want you to see something. Verse 50. There was this man named Joseph who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man. When he says righteous man, that means he was a believer. That means, see, you get righteousness by faith. You don't get righteousness by being good. When it calls somebody a righteous person in the Bible, it doesn't mean they're a good person. It means they have the righteousness of God, which comes by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Every one of us in this room, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, God credited to you his righteousness. You're called a righteous person. This man's a righteous person because he believed in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It said his name was Joseph. He had not consented in verse 51 to their plan. He was a man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. He said, the king is here. It's time for the Messiah. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Can you imagine that? He went to Pilate and said, I would like the body of Jesus. Because see, what they normally did, there's a big hill. There's this big old hill in that area. And there was a place that they would take the bodies of people that nobody claimed. And they would just throw them down there and they would burn. They would burn. And who was going to claim Jesus' body? Everybody ran off. Everybody ran off. So Joseph of Arimathea went up and said, I'd like the body. And Pilate said, he's dead already? Because that's pretty fast, because crucifixion usually takes 2 or 3 days because you suffocate. And he said, wait a minute. And he called a soldier, and is he dead? He said, oh, yeah, I went and checked it. I put a sword up through him. Yeah, he's dead. Okay, you can have the body. So he took the body. And this man went to Pilate and asked for the body, and he took it down, verse 53. He wrapped it in a linen cloth, and he laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. Now, you got to understand, in that day and time, they don't bury people in the ground. They put them in the sides of hills and rocks. They got caves, and they usually have little platforms in there, and they put the bodies in there, and they wrap them up, and they put the sweet-smelling stuff on them because they're going to let the body decay. It takes sometimes weeks for the body to decay. Then they had things called ossuaries, which were bone boxes, which they'd take the bones and put them in the box afterwards. So when somebody would die, they'd wrap them up, put them on a slab, put a big stone in front of the cave so animals couldn't get in there and eat the bodies. And they would go in there occasionally, anoint the body until it was nothing but bones. That's what they would do. That's what they've done for Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea said, I thought he was the Messiah. I'm waiting for the kingdom of God. I thought Jesus was the Messiah, but he's dead. So I'm going to take his body. And he and another guy by the name of Nicodemus anointed the body and put him in the thing. And they rolled the big stone and it was sealed. And the Jewish leaders wanted it sealed because they were afraid somebody's going to come steal the body. And so they had some soldiers there and everything. And the women who loved Jesus, the women who followed him, the women who out of their own means supplied for Jesus so he could make it and so he could teach and so he could do what he was doing, they were watching the whole thing. And they were watching, and they saw where the body was put. And they said to themselves, we're going to wait a few days, because it's now Sabbath day's coming, everything's coming. When these few days have passed, we'll go out there later on, and we'll anoint the body. And we'll do that until he's just bones. And then we'll take his body, or somebody will, because we don't want it just to be there. It was preparation day. Look at verse 55. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and they prepared spices, and on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandments. Jesus Christ died for us, paid for our sins. He's buried. If it stopped here, we have nothing. But it doesn't stop here. Remember, he said, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. What did he do? Jesus rose again. He conquered death. Luke chapter 24, that's the verses we read earlier. We're going to see him alive. Look at verse chapter 24, verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, at early dawn, first day of the week is Sunday, at early dawn, very early in the morning, these women who had gone with these spices, they're ready. They have come to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. If you look at the other Gospels, they're coming out there. There's probably two or three different women, maybe four women. We're not even sure how many. They're coming out there, and they actually say unto themselves, ooh, we just thought about this. How are we going to get that big rock out of the way? That thing is huge. Who's going to roll away the stone so we can go in there and anoint the body? That's what they were thinking. The rumor was out that the Romans had soldiers there, so maybe the soldiers could help them move the stone. Who knows? And when they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Can you see them going in and going, wait a minute, somebody's opened the thing. And it says, when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, what would you do? You're the ladies. Say, if we're some of us guys, we're with them. We've gone out to anoint the body. What are we expecting to find? The body. If it's not the body, are we going to be jumping up and down saying resurrection? No, we're going to say, I wonder who got the body. See, even though Jesus said over and over, I'm going to die and what? Rise again. They didn't grasp it. They didn't grasp it. They just said, wait a minute. Somebody got the body. And if you remember one of the other Gospels, Mary was there, Mary Magdalene, and she looked in there and the body was gone and she started crying and Jesus was actually behind her and she didn't know it was Jesus. And he said, what are you doing? Who are you looking for? And she turns around. She doesn't know it's Jesus. And she says, I'm looking for his body. If you took it, let me know where it is. I'd be glad to take it. They're not jumping up and down when they see the empty tomb. Yay, he rose. That's just what he said. Look what happened. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. Now, these two men aren't men. The dazzling clothing, they're angels. Two angels appear. Scares them to death. We talk about this in the Bible all the time. Whenever you see people see angels, they're frightened. When the angels appeared to the shepherds, you remember, it said, stop being afraid. Every time an angel appears, people are afraid. Look what happened. And the women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground. And as they bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, look what they said, why do you seek the living one among the dead? Why would you come here? This is a grave. This is where dead people are. Jesus isn't dead. What did he say he was going to do? Die and rise again. And the angel said, why did you come here? Why would you come looking for the living one in the dead? Why are you here? And then they said to him, he's not here, but he is risen. He's risen. We ought to jump up right now, every one of us, and go, this is the greatest news of all time. Because it is the greatest news of all time. We win a football game, we jump up and down and cheer and high five. We don't even know the people sitting to us. We're just doing so much. This is the greatest thing. And then the greatest message of all, Jesus Christ died and rose again, and he conquered death. And we go, that was wonderful. That's really wonderful. Right? Wow. He's not here. He has risen. And then they said, remember how he spoke to you? Remember what he told you while you were still in Galilee? Do you remember what he said? Five times in Matthew, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to die. And then I'm going to rise again. Look what they say, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men and be crucified. That's his death. And the third day rise again. Don't you remember what he said? You know what we could say to him? Don't you believe what he said? Do you believe Jesus died and rose again? Do you believe that he said, I'm going to die on the cross and pay for your sins and my sins, and then I'm going to rise from the dead? You believe that? Yes. And they went, oh my gosh. And then it says, they remembered his words. That's what he said. You could look at him and say, that's what he said. Yeah, that's what he said. And they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to the rest. You remember they came back? Mary stayed there. A couple of them came back. And they said, well, one of them went over and came and told Peter and James, Peter and John, look, he's risen from the grave. And they went, I don't think so. And they went running to see. And when they got there, nobody else was there. They got, and they looked in there, and they saw the wrapped up stuff. And they went, oh my gracious. Is he alive? Is he really alive? Is he really alive? You think he is? I think he's seated at the right hand of the throne right now. I think he lives inside of me, and he lives inside of you. And he'll never leave us or forsake us. What should we fear? And he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the Savior of the world. That's who he is, and he's alive. What did Jesus say he's going to do? He's going to die and rise again. What did Jesus do? He died and rose again. I want you to see one more thing. Go to John chapter 20. It's the next book. After Luke, just go to John and go to chapter 20. Now, let's pretend we're the disciples. We were with Jesus three and a half years. We saw him raise the dead. We saw him do all this stuff. We heard all his teaching. We said, he sure isn't any ordinary man. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the King. Jesus said to the guys, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. And then he died. And we all ran and hid. And we're all in little rooms like this saying, I hope the Romans don't come get us. I know what we're going to do now. I don't know what we're going to do. We're scared to death. We should be looking at each other saying, I thought he was going to rise from the dead. I thought he said he was going to rise from the dead. I thought he was going to die and rise from the dead. We're saying, well, he died for sure. And then what happened? John 20, verse 19. Now, when it's evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. They're afraid Jews are going to come get them. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. He stood right there. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He said, look, this is the scars right here. Look, this is where that thing went and stuck me right there. Remember? And Jesus said to them, peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, is called Didymus. You know what Didymus means? Twin. Thomas was a twin. I'm a twin. He wasn't with them when Jesus appeared. You can see Thomas coming up and going, what y'all been doing? Jesus was here. He was right here. Thomas went, you kidding me? I missed it? Yeah, he was right here. He was right here. Thomas was one of the 12 called Didymus, was not there with him. And so the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, well, wait a minute. unless I see his hands with the imprint of the nails, unless I put my finger in the side of the place of the nails and in my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. That's why he's called what? Doubting Thomas. Who's doubting here? Every one of them were doubting. And so after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them and Jesus came. The doors haven't been shut. Jesus stood right in the midst and said, peace be with you. And then he looked over at Thomas and said, how you doing, Thomas? Would you like to take your hand, put your finger in my hand? Would you like to put your hand in my side? Don't go on being unbelieving, but be believing. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, that's good. That's good. Blessed. Because you've seen me and believe, that's good. But blessed are those who have not seen me and believed. That's us. We hadn't seen him. That's 2,000 years ago. But we believe. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for my sin. And I believe he rose from the grave and conquered death. And I have put my faith in him for eternal life. And he is my Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to get to the Father. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved. I believe Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I have eternal life. And I hope and pray that every one of you in this room. See, this is called the event is the death and resurrection of Christ. And this is the gospel. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15, this Jesus died for our sins. 1 Peter 2:24, he bore in his body. He's the satisfactory payment. He's our substitute. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for us. And then he rose again. He conquered death. In Christ, all are made alive. That's the good news. We come this morning to celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, what is our response? And here's the first thing. Let's trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Listen, there may be some of you in this room this morning who have come together with family and friends to celebrate, and you have never trusted Christ. You may have never understood. You may never understood that salvation is not by your works or going to church or being good or anything like that. Salvation is a gift. Jesus Christ died and rose again for you, and he offers as a gift eternal life to all who will believe. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So my prayer is this. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, right where you're sitting right now, you can believe that Jesus Christ will give you eternal life. You can trust in him and him alone simply for eternal life. And so it's not being good, not walking down an aisle, not giving your life to Jesus, not making a public profession, not being baptized, not doing anything. It's faith alone in Christ alone for eternal life. So right where you're sitting, you can trust in Christ as your Savior. Listen, the cross divides. You realize that the soldiers, there were some who mocked, and there were some who believed. There were two thieves, one mocked, one believed. There were the crowd, there were some who mocked, and there were the women who believed. And I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, if you have never trusted Christ, that today you will believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life because he died for you and rose again, paying for sin and conquering death. For those of us who know Christ, let's proclaim the good news message. Let's proclaim the good news message. I want to read something to you. It goes back to the very beginning. And it's in 2 Timothy. Listen to this. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1. These are the verses I read earlier. I didn't read verse 8, but listen to this. Therefore, Paul says to Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. Paul says, don't be ashamed of the message. When we go out these doors, we who already know Christ as Savior, we who have eternal life, we who ought to be jumping up and down and going, hallelujah, Jesus died for me and rose again. He conquered death. He gives me life. I'm saved forever. When we go out these doors, we don't have to be jumping up and down then, but we want to be sharing that message with people who do not know. And finally, let's remember that every Sunday is Resurrection Day. We worship on the first day of the week because Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week. So every Sunday when we come together, think about it and say, wow, this is the day. We worship because Jesus died and rose again and gives eternal life as a gift. Jesus died for us to pay for our sin. Jesus rose again to conquer death, and he gives eternal life to all who believe in him.